think I'm laboring the point. Let me say that this is not the first time I've ever given this lecture. And I'm speaking from experience. Now, I said at the outset of the course that the truth has to be the truth to you, proven to your satisfaction in order to have any value. Principles have to be self-determined or they can't be applied with any great conviction. Now, this opens up many questions, however, and I guess the prototype of them all is, well, if you're so doggone fired up about the fact that you have to see everything to believe it, how do you know there's a Moscow? Have you ever seen it? This is not a straw man either. I've encountered this argument or several variations of it many times, and I imagine that if you have had any respect whatsoever for reality, an observable phenomena, that you've run into some kind of a question like this. Well, the fact of the matter with regard to how do I know there is a Moscow is that I don't, not for sure, but information at my disposal indicates that there's a very good probability that such a place does exist. But, of course, all of this overlooks a very essential factor, and that is I don't have to know for sure whether or not Moscow exists. Why not? Well, of course, because it is not relevant to my life at the moment. There are no life or death issues hinging on my decision as to whether or not Moscow exists. But I can tell you this, if my life depended upon having the correct answer, I would find a way to scrape together all my resources, get on a plane, risk the meteor hitting it, and make it for Moscow to find out for sure firsthand whether or not it is there, so that I could make the life or death decision in a way that would preserve my life. Well, what is the principle that's involved here? Well, once again, we come face to face with the fact that resources are limited. Since I don't have the time available to me to personally check out every possible bit of knowledge that could exist to me in this world, I have to choose. And this brings me to the inevitable standard upon which I choose what knowledge to pursue. And that standard, of course, is in which way can I use my limited resources to produce the greatest happiness for myself? In other words, which is the most profitable alternative for me with regard to these precious limited resources available? And so when the existence of Moscow is proven to me to have such a relevance in my life that, say, it overshadows the importance of knowing how to run my business profitably, then at that point I will put my business aside and run off to Moscow to find out for sure whether or not it exists. But until that time, my limited resources will be better spent running my own business and making sure that it is showing a profit. Now, we have already seen that there are decisions made always on the basis of unknowables. The important element is to be sure that you have recognized the vulnerability caused by those unknowables and not acted in a way that they can surprise you and take from you more than you were willing to pay in advance. You weigh the cost of obtaining additional knowledge, meaning what you would have to give up in order to go get that knowledge, against your vulnerability involved in acting without it. If the vulnerability is small enough to live with, then go ahead and make decisions upon what you thought or even what you hoped to be the truth, just so long as you recognize the vulnerability. Your attitude has been prepared so that you will feel no great loss if it turns out that you guessed wrong. Now, of course, in this way, you will make dozens of decisions every day. You often will accept the word of someone else for certain premises upon which to base decisions. You'll just plain take his word for it. When I buy chewing gum, I don't insist that the clerk open the package and unwrap every one of the 5 wrappers and prove to me that there is gum in the package before I lay down my nickel, because I'm willing to live with the possibility that I'll open that up and find that there's cardboard inside. The point is, of course, that it's fine and dandy. It is perfectly all right and useful to you to accept someone else's word for something so long as you are willing to accept the risk that that person is wrong. That's all. There's no intellectual crime at any time in taking someone else's word for something. You do it whether you realize it or not. The only crime that you commit against yourself is when you adopt the attitude that someone else can't be wrong, or that in a certain position, that person has to be right because so much of your life depends upon it. In other words, you have made yourself vulnerable to him. You cannot even afford to think about the possibility that he may be wrong. That is where the crime exists in letting someone else make your decisions, because it would be a critical matter to let it lead you to accepting someone else's word on a life and death matter when either the proper knowledge is obtainable by you or when he is in no better position than you are to know what the truth of the matter is. And this is where many people go astray. They accept a